Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance, yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Coming up 20 minutes from now, Bobby Carpenter will join us. We'll chat a little NFL and college football as well. But first up, I need a little music, please, on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, because Hickey has assembled the list of 10 teams. And I will give you my thoughts on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no shot, 10 being extremely likely that this team will be playing in the Super Bowl this year, with Week 11 about to kick off in the NFL coming up tonight, as you do have the Green Bay Packers hosting the Tennessee Titans.
Let's start with a team right now in total disarray, the Buffalo Bills.
Still an 8. Because right now, this may just be the blip in the road and the bump in the road that makes you say, yeah, we'll look back at this in a month or two from now or 3 months and go, yeah, remember when everyone was panicking with the loss to the Jets, with the loss last week to Minnesota, when you had Josh Allen throw 2 bad interceptions, inexcusably fumble the ball, when the game was pretty much over. All that stuff could be looked back and kind of laughed at maybe 3 months from now. But you do have 2 concerns about Buffalo. One, they're asking their quarterback to do everything. And they do play the Browns this week in Detroit. Yes, that's a statement that you just heard, because they're moving the game because of weather. So they're playing the Browns in Detroit, and the Browns have a running back by the name of Kareem Hunt, who wanted out, who was available to get traded, and I thought the Bills should have traded for him. Now, this Bills run game, they did trade for Nyheim Hines. You're going to need Devin Motor Singletary and Nyheim Hines to really start to get going, just to take some of the food off of the plate and some of the burden off of the plate of one Josh Allen. This is a week where you would think Buffalo is going to win. Now you get this weird wrinkle thrown into it with the game being moved to Detroit. Buffalo still should win the game. They're the better team. They're the more complete team. They're going to need Jordan Poyer back when this football team really has to start to play meaningful games, because he's been maybe their second most important player this year when you look at the team's record when he's not on the field. And we know Josh Allen is their most important because of all they ask of him. Overall, though, I still think the team that we saw in Kansas City, where the Bills beat Kansas City, does exist. I still think the team we saw in the beginning of the year, I know it looks different now because the Rams stink and there's a lot of turnovers in that game, but the Bills still killed the Rams by like 18 points or something like that. I still think that team exists, and I still think when it's all said and done, they're one of the more well-rounded teams in the league. So I put the chances of them going to a Super Bowl on a scale of 1 to 10 at still an 8.
If they are an 8, what are the Chiefs then?
A 9. I'm not going to give anyone a 10. Because right now, what we've learned through the first 11 weeks of the season, there's no perfect team. And I would say the Chiefs are a 9. Even though they lost to the Bills, it looks like they're going to have home field advantage now. And if you have to go to Arrowhead in a postseason game with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and that's a heck of a duo in a year that's so wide open, why wouldn't I trust the best quarterback in the sport in Patrick Mahomes? So I put them in at a 9.
How about the AFC East leaders right now, the Miami Dolphins?
To get to a Super Bowl?
Get to a Super Bowl. Where's your Super Bowl confidence?
This is going to seem disrespectful. It's not intended to, because they're a really good team. I think it's like a 4. don't get me wrong, the Dolphins are having a heck of a year. They're having a great year. But we've never seen Tua play a playoff game before. We've never seen Mike McDaniel as a head coach in a playoff game before. Yeah, they're having regular season success. If they're not getting the one seed, and we don't even know if they're going to win the division, to go win three games in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl, I still have a tough time seeing that. Like, they're a heck of a team. They'll never be out of a game because they could so quickly strike with the aerial attack of Tua to Tyreek, Tua to Jalen Waddle. I love the move of Jeff Wilson Jr., bringing him in, and you also bring in Bradley Chubb if he could stay healthy. They got a really good team, but they're taking a giant step this year. I don't think they're going to take two giant steps this year, is what I'm saying. So I still have a tough time seeing them in the Super Bowl.
Tuanon, assemble.
It's all right. Bring them on.
How about a team you were very high on, the Baltimore Ravens?
About like a five. I think it's a coin flip. Because when they get into a game late in the fourth quarter, it's like a coin flip which team's going to show up. And I got to see them close out games more. I got to see where the health is of Mark Andrews moving forward. Does J.K. Dobbins eventually get back into the fold? Because he's on IR right now. And you're always one hit away from Lamar Jackson from that entire thing unraveling. And we all know he's the most important player on that team. He's the identity of that offense. I do, though, put it at a five because they've been a team that's been hovering the last few years. I know they didn't make the playoffs last year because of the injuries, but they've been hovering the last few years, and maybe this is their year that they fight through, but I do think there's a big gap when you look at still the Chiefs and the Bills to everyone else in the AFC.
This team came in with some decent expectations. So far, it's been an up-and-down year. How about the Los Angeles Chargers?
The Super Bowl?
Super Bowl confidence in the Chargers.
One.
Justin Herbert. You think Mike Williams,
one.
Keenan Allen on the mend?
One.
Okay.
I like Herbert a lot. Can you see Brandon Staley calling the perfect game plan or a good enough game plan three games in a row in the playoffs? Well, I know the road doesn't matter because they basically their home stadium is a road stadium anyway because every team overtakes it. I got to see that team play, get healthier, and be consistent before I could even discuss the idea or even think, like you're fluttering me right now. And I'm getting all over the place and I'm stuttering right now because you're talking about the Chargers in the Super Bowl. Like, huh? No. One. Like, think about it. The best we've talked about that team this year has probably been last week where they were down so many guys and they still lost the game. Like, isn't that the most praise that they probably got this year?
That or maybe the way they played against the Chiefs early on, but I mean, they lost.
They choked it.
Yeah. Either way, you're right. Probably the best thing about them is that we're talking about them in a loss. Mm-hmm. They played a good team close.
Yeah, like their three-game winning streak was against the Texans, the Browns, and they had to go to overtime to beat the Broncos. Woof.
Yeah. Falcons, another win too this year, I believe, on their resume. It's,
on
not,
a
it's not a strong
goal.
Strong resume for the Chargers in terms of the win department.
But it's a big game for them this weekend. You could go change that narrative if you go beat Kansas City.
That is true. That is very, very true. All right, let's go to the NFC. How about the Eagles? Where's your Super Bowl confidence and right now the conference leader?
About an eight. And the reason why it's an eight, home field advantage is going to be massive this year. And right now, if the season were to end today, fly Eagles fly, they'd be playing in South Philadelphia at the Link. That building will be jumping, will be going nuts, and only two games to get to a Super Bowl. You have a well-rounded team. My only concern is the run defense. Now they've been beefing up that defensive line. You'll eventually get Jordan Davis back. Today they signed Ndamukong Suh. Who'd they sign yesterday? They signed another defensive player?
The swaggiest defensive lineman in the NFL,
Linval Joseph. Linval Joseph, who at the time when he was with the Minnesota Vikings, had a touchdown against the Eagles, and he had the oxygen mask on the sideline.
With the sunglasses on.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was badass.
That was badass.
You also brought in Robert Quinn, even though they've not really been playing in the last 2 weeks. They have a lot in that defensive line. And the last 5-6 weeks, they've been a horrible run defense. You got to think that's eventually going to turn because they have the talent there. And is Fletcher Cox now, like, useless? You'd think that guy would be enough to stuff the run. That's how big he is. But I still think it's an eight. They have a well-rounded team. Their only flaw is their run defense. And if the road travels through Philadelphia to get to Glendale, Arizona, I'll love the Eagles' chances.
How about the other 8-1 team in the NFC, the Vikes, Minnesota Vikings?
Six and a half. The big hesitation, the big pause, the big yeah, but. What's Kirk Cousins in a big, big spot back-to-back-to-back weeks in the playoffs? Now, if they could somehow get the one seed, Eagles go on a little bit of a losing streak. They keep on winning. They usurp them. Or you win wild card weekend, Eagles lose divisional round, you have a home NFC title game. It's going to be tough for the Vikings to lose. But with that being said, there's just some guys you can't envision seeing them win the entire thing or get to the big game until they do so. Kirk Cousins, who's been a very good quarterback in this league, there's a reason why you say he's very good and not great, because he has that feel about him that you're always waiting for the other shoe to fall and the other shoe to drop.
How about the Dallas Cowboys? Where's your Super Bowl confidence in Big D?
4. Because aren't we doing the same thing that we did last year? And I felt as if it was in a greater intensity last year, because the Cowboys felt like they were better last year, where we all were saying, ooh and ah, look at what the Cowboys are doing. Ooh, in the regular season, this is wonderful. I said this going into the start of the year. I don't really care what they do in the regular season, because come postseason time, can your coach and your quarterback be great? And McCarthy, who's done a very good job this year with how many games they had to coach without Dak Prescott, McCarthy, it's another guy that you're just waiting for the other shoe to fall. And for Dak Prescott, he couldn't even get the snap off in a crucial spot last year. Now, you could get on the play call and everything else, and that's totally fair. For the Cowboys, I just think their ceiling is very good. I don't think they're great. And I do think they need another weapon. And there's been a lot of chatter about Odell maybe going there. They get Odell, maybe that changes the conversation. But for now, they're a team that I think it's more unlikely than likely that they'll be in the Super Bowl.
How about a team that would all end at the trade deadline, the San Francisco 49ers?
5. And that number should be higher. But eventually I got to judge you by what you're showing me on the field. And last week against the Chargers, you won the game, but it was a very, you didn't look strong doing so. And that was a Chargers team that on paper has a lot of talent, but that was superior against inferior when you looked at who was actually healthy for the 49ers up against the Los Angeles Chargers last week. Jimmy G's another one of those guys. He wins games, but can you win the big games? They have a lot of names on defense. On offense, you know who the names are. Debo, Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel. We know what he's doing. Brandon Ayuk, right? Look at what Brandon Ayuk has been doing as of late. Like, they got names. But it seems like the 49ers are always that team, and they've been to a Super Bowl, but it seems like now they're stuck in that conversation of just being a force, a threat, but not the team that you go, oh, this is going to be their year. I think they're going to go get the job done.
And finally, let's wrap up with this team, the GOAT. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, where is your Super Bowl confidence?
They're going to be in the playoffs. Brady in the playoffs, you'll probably talk me into it eventually. I got to see more, though. That defense has been too inconsistent. The offensive line has been bad. I don't think Gronk is coming back. I'm sure Brady's already called him. Hey, Giselle's out of the house. Let's come on over, a little bachelor pad. We'll have some fun, Gronky. Come on. I would say it's about a 5. I think it's a coin flip. I would lean more so that you lose that coin flip, but because you have the GOAT, it still makes it a coin flip. So I would say it's a 5 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they'll be in the playoffs. The NFC South stinks.
And get one home game, bare minimum.
And we know the ship has sailed on the Atlanta Falcons after last week.
See ya.
It's kind of crazy. That's a great job by Arthur Smith. The fact that they were that much alive until week 10. And then week 10, it all came crashing and burning down when you lose to the Carolina Panthers. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll talk some NFL. We'll also talk a little Ohio State. and everything else happening around college football with Bobby Carpenter, who played with the Dallas Cowboys and obviously did star at Ohio State. Talking with Bobby Carpenter next.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat a little NFL and college football right now with Bobby Carpenter, who's kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show. Bobby, appreciate the time. How you been?
I've been good, man. I mean, heck, for the kind of sad to tell you the truth. I mean, college football season's coming to an end here in the next couple of weeks, at least the regular season, and the NFL are right in the middle of it, and it's like it's injury season. So watching some of these teams just get smoked because they've lost five players the same position can be tough.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, for your Ohio State team, where's the confidence level? Like, give me a pulse of the fan base after getting blown out by Michigan a year ago at the Big House, and now the entire year it was clear, like 3 or 4 weeks in, Ohio State, Michigan, both those teams going to be undefeated next week going up against one another.
Yeah, I mean, this week I think everyone feels good because you got Maryland tomorrow and you're, you know, basically a four-touchdown favorite. I think after that there is probably some tepid optimism, a sense of, like, uneasiness, uncertainty. And you got to think for the last 20 years, Ohio State's won 17 of these guys. And then all of a sudden, you know, last season, not only did you lose, but you got beat up physically, and, you know, they took it to you a little bit. And so, you know, that every game this year, you know, Ohio State was not being judged by the opponent they're playing. They're being judged on their performance of would they be able to stop the run against Michigan and would they be able to run the ball against Michigan. And it's a crazy, you know, exercise each and every week to kind of go through that. But that's where we are, and that's the reality of the fact that you've got two top five teams playing, and should they both take care of business on Saturday? I believe it will be the fifth time since 1936, I think, when they moved the game to the final game of the season where both teams have entered unbeaten or untied. So, you know, there's a lot riding on this. And, you know, I think Buckeye Nation is confident, but yet very there's a level of concern, too.
When you get to the mental side of this, and I know the opponents this year for both teams have not been the greatest, but you still got to find a way to win each and every game, and you can't have a down performance because then you really put yourself behind the eight ball. Like, how stressful do you think that is to players where we're so early on in the year? And I know it's always Ohio State, Michigan, but this year it was, yeah, who even cares what happens on the field in these games? We know what we expect to be the matchup at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, you know, Ryan Day, a question actually came up to him, and he made a great point. He goes, you know, March Madness starts for us Labor Day weekend. You can't really lose. He's like, you're getting judged every week. He goes, and heck, it's not even if you win. It's do you win by enough? Did you cover a crazy, unreasonable spread or something like that? I mean, those are the questions that he's being asked every week as he's going through this. So that's some of the stuff that he's got to deal with what's going on. So, yeah, I mean, each and every week is March Madness. Is March Madness for him. They've got to sit there and they've got to win every game, look impressive, And so, yeah, I mean, this is the game that really everything matters. But Ryan also said, he's like, if you don't win a game coming up to this and you're not playing for a chance to go to the college football playoff, you're not playing for a chance to go to a Big Ten championship, then you know what? You're disappointed with that as well.
Talking to Bobby Carpenter right now, has the fan base at all started to turn on Ryan Day a little bit? Because we know he's been a really good coach ever since taking over for Urban Meyer, got to that national championship during the COVID season, but they've been the kind of the feel of a team that's just been in the playoffs and you're waiting and waiting and waiting for that national championship.
Well, I mean, if you feel like you're waiting for a national championship, that means at least you're close. You know, the Ryan had a tough, you know, almost an impossible expectation or incredibly tough. There's only been one team in college football history that has had three successive coaches win national championships, to my knowledge, and that was LSU with Saban, Miles, and Orgeron. And Ohio State had Jim Tressel win in his second year. Urban won it in his third. You know, Ryan now, I believe, entering his fourth or fifth, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I mean, there's an expectation where, you know what, you've been close. That's been great. But, you know, it's time to eventually try to kick the door in. And Ryan understands that. Like, he doesn't run from it. He doesn't hide from it. And he always talks about our goals, you know, to beat Michigan, to win the Big Ten, and win a national championship. And, you know, he knows, like, I know that's the expectation here. They brought in Jim Knowles this offseason. And, you know, to fix the defense. I mean, Ryan was not going to sugarcoat what happened. We're going to have a better defense. Defense has been much better. But, you know, coming into the season, people are like, how long is it going to take? And Jim Knowles goes, I don't have, you know, a year to fix this. Heck, I don't even have six games. Like, people are going to want this defense fixed right now. And that's the expectation that they have here. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, you get a lot of publicity with it. You're compensated well. Like, there's tons of recognition. But with all of those things, there come the fact that there's pressure to ultimately go out there and not just win, but win national championships.
How would you, Bobby Carpenter, describe the year C.J. Stroud is having, and how do you think his game translates to the next level?
I mean, C.J. is an elite thrower of the football. You know, he can run if he needs to. I mean, he's not a run-first guy. I mean, he's not the athlete that Justin Fields is. So when you watch him run around out there for the Bears because they have no other weapons, you know, that's not really C.J.'s bag, and that's not something he's really able or capable of doing. But, I mean, he throws a really good ball. Ryan runs an NFL-style system. I mean, get through reads. It's really tough to project, you know, how guys move. I know that this, like, any time you're a starter for just one season, I always get worried about that. And I think that was one of the issues, you know, with the late Dwayne Haskins. I think Mitch Trubisky, you know, had that issue a little bit. Like, when you literally are a shooting star, you never have to come back that next year and manage the expectations of being great. And so CJ's had to deal with that where, you know what, he has a game where he maybe doesn't look unreal. He's 22 of 28 and missed some, you know, big throws when he put one in the dirt. People are going to be upset with that because they expect you to be a Heisman finalist and, heck, probably win a Heisman trophies. The odds on favor right now at most of the sports books. So, you know, I think he has everything it takes, but it's just, you know, will he be good in the NFL? Well, that is going to come down to him. Comes down, as they say in Top Gun Maverick, to the man in the box.
Right now, what's the difference between Ohio State and Michigan? Like, when that game gets played next week, assuming everyone stays healthy, which, you know, it's week to week when it comes to that, how do you think that game plays out right now?
Well, I think you look defensively at both teams. Michigan lost a lot on defense. Ajabo, Hutchinson, I mean, they up front, but they're still really good. And they've been dominating teams defensively. I think them and Ohio State are both ranked in the top 10 and top 10 on offense and defense of most statistical metrics. Ohio State's defense has been much improved from last year, and you're getting really good play from the linebackers and Eichenberg and Steel Chambers, which has been a big, big asset to them, and the defensive line is starting to really pick it up. I mean, so defensively, I think both of these teams are solid. The thing is, on offense, you know, they're both really good, and they put up a lot of points and a lot of yards. But, you know, they couldn't do it with more contrasting styles. I mean, Michigan's going to want to pound you on the ground with Corum and Donovan and let those guys run wild, get them going in the passing game. There's some play-action stuff. You know, Ohio State, they can throw it all over anyone. They've got the best receivers in college football. You know, but Ryan understands that there's times where you're going to have to run it. And last year, you know, there was inclement weather for the game. this year it looks to be good, but you have no idea. It's the Midwest. You know, who knows what could happen? And so they've made a concerted effort to try to run the ball, get tougher in short yardage situations. I think that that's happened. No one's going to truly know until the game. You know, so that's kind of, you know, their shortcoming a little bit. And then Michigan's is, you know, can they push the ball down the field with J.J. McCarthy? Like, he's a great athlete. He can hit guys underneath, but he's had some accuracy issues on deep balls, and that's kind of prevented them from maybe blowing more games open.
Who are your four teams? Who do you think is going to be the college football playoff when we find that out in a few weeks?
Oh, gosh. I would say Georgia's in. I mean, almost regardless of what they do now, I think they're making it in, even if they somehow lost to LSU. The winner of Ohio State, Michigan, I think, obviously is getting in. I would say Ohio State, I would give it a slight lean to that right now. You know, TCU, if they go undefeated, they're getting in. I don't think there's a team on their schedule left that's capable of beating them. Maybe Baylor, if they, you know, play their very best, I think that there's a chance that they could maybe get it done. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if North Carolina or Clemson, depending on how they play, if they have a shot of getting in. I tend to believe that the ACC has been all but eliminated based upon
Agreed. Where
they've been. But I think you get that second SEC team. USC, like, they've got a path. USC could potentially be playing, you know, they're playing UCLA, they're playing Notre Dame, and then they've also got a chance to play, you know, the next top-ranked team in the Pac-12, which there could be another top 10, top 12 team. So if they win those three, they get in. I don't think that they ultimately win those three. I think you have two SEC schools with Georgia and probably Tennessee, Ohio State, and probably TCU.
You know, I'm curious to see if it goes this way. Like, let's just say the ACC doesn't get in because I don't think they have a path to get into the college football playoff this year. I agree with you. I tend to think USC is going to drop another game. So then the Pac-12 is out. If you have Georgia and Tennessee in, winner Ohio State, Michigan, and then let's just say TCU drops a game, do you get two Big Ten teams in? Do you get both Ohio State and Michigan in if they play a close game?
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance of that. I know there were some people that were really upset. I do an XM show with Jacob Hester in 84, and there were people that were furious. Like, there's no way they put them in over a one-loss ACC team. Like, Notre Dame, who Ohio State beat, smoked Clemson in a way that no one thought could happen. They pounded them with the football, and they beat North Carolina by two scores. Like, so if you start talking about this, like, I don't know how good the ACC is. I think that there's – I don't know if there's a great team. I think there's a lot of good teams. But that's part of the problem is I don't think there's any elite team, and I believe the committee believes that as well.
It also feels like whoever wins that Ohio State-Michigan game is going to get the Heisman Trophy winner. I know that maybe if USC wins the Pac-12, then it could be Caleb Williams, but it feels like this is down right now to whoever balls out between C.J. Stroud and Blake Corum next week.
I think you're right in saying that. I do think there is a way for Drake May to potentially get there. You know, if North Carolina wins it and they smoke Clemson, he throws for 450 yards and four TDs and Stroud struggles and Corum, it's just an unimpressive game. I think that there is a pathway for that. But I do believe that, yeah, it's CJ's to lose. And if Blake Corum has, a, you know, 200 yards rushing and then lights it up in a Big Ten championship as well, I think that there's a very solid path for him to get it.
What's your view on the Cowboys with what you've seen so far? Do you just think they're a very good team, or can you see them being a great team when it's all said and done?
You know, if they would have beat Green Bay, I probably would have said they could be a great team. But, you know, their failure to produce down the stretch and make plays in critical times, you know, that's tough. And you got to be able to make the plays. And Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's going to start getting hot here, I believe. But I think Dallas is really good. But I don't think that they could beat, you know, probably the top four or five teams in the NFL.
Are you buying into all this talk about Odell maybe joining the Cowboys?
I think that's possible. I think Odell wants to go somewhere where he'll be a contender. I think he's realized last year that, you know what, winning on a big stage and making plays there, that will do a lot more for his stock than going out and catching a ton of balls. So he always said he wanted to be with a winner. I'm curious to see how he balances that and whoever gives him the biggest deal. Because you know what? Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. I mean, an extra $1 million this year might not matter if you can get an extra $10 million, you know, over the life of maybe a 3-year deal if you play really well and on a contender. So I could see it potentially happening. I'm curious to see, heck, if Green Bay tries to make him a push for him. If they start playing well, like you put him up there, and all of a sudden now, you know, you get some action going with his wideouts, like that would be a pretty dangerous group as well.
And last thing for you, Bobby Carpenter, where's the concern at with the Buffalo Bills losing the last two games, Jets, and then that crazy game up against the Minnesota Vikings this weekend? They have the Browns, but that game's getting moved to Detroit because of the weather.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed they moved it, man. I mean, Same. Nothing would have been more Buffalo than, you know, 3 feet of snow. I mean, there's a reason why they have an open-air stadium. There's a reason why they've always played it there. You know, and I know now with Josh Allen, like, you know, you want to be able to throw the ball because they've got a great passing and offense. But, dude, he can spin it in the snow and cold as well as anybody. I'm not overly concerned. He's got to clean up a little bit of his red zone stuff. He doesn't have to feel like he needs to win the game on his own. And, you know, I don't know. Like, Buffalo, you could argue that, yeah, you got to get stops. I mean, Justin Jefferson made some ridiculous catches. And, you know, Kirk Cousins seems to be, you know, on another level. I mean, I think the Kirk Thuggins is maybe more real than we realize.
I like how you put that. Bobby Carpenter, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a news brief next.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you could hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, international series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Time to hit up a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Green Bay, Tennessee tonight at legendary Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers says the offense isn't getting complacent after their big performance against the Dallas Cowboys.
There's no sigh of relief. There's no weight of the world off of my shoulders. Preparation stays the same. Focus stays the same. Expectations stay the same. But it was nice to play a more complete game on offense.
Now, Hickey, is there a disconnect between Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and the wide receiver Christian Watson? Do you have any idea why I'm asking you that?
No, I do not.
Aaron Rodgers said there's no weight lifted off his shoulders. Christian Watson on this show earlier in this week said, there's a weight lifted off my shoulders with a performance like that. Are they not on the same page again? Where's Jeremy Fowler on line one?
Trouble in paradise.
Aaron Rodgers says the key for the offense is the run game.
The consistent players that we've had in this league have been behind me in the backfield. You know, Jonesy's had a great season and AJ's been playing really well. So we got to keep riding those guys.
So he's right. But isn't it rare where you hear a quarterback basically say, take the ball out of my hand? Let's get the ball to Aaron Jones. Let's get the ball to A.J. Dillon. But that's really him knowing that he can't rely consistently on any of the wide receivers. So he's telling you, our best formula is run, run, run. That's what it is, Hickey. But it's bizarre when you hear a quarterback say that, because most quarterbacks are going to say, yeah, let's throw the rock 40 times a game and let's get the numbers up and let me go play hero ball.
And I kind of respect it, to be honest.
I do.
Yeah, he's just being honest. Like, oh, look, we got to run the ball. That's the strength, and let's do it.
Let's hear Mike Vrabel says that his defense has stepped up nicely, even with all the injuries.
And I think all the credit goes to the players. They take advantage of the opportunities. They've stopped the run, so that therefore you can, you know, have a chance to affect the game and rush. I think you earn the right to rush the quarterback, and you know, this week will be the same thing.
So you hear how much the Packers talk about running the ball. The first thing out of Mike Vrabel's mouth is you got to stop the run. This is not going to be a sexy football game tonight. This is not going to be a football game that it's going to be 54-50 or 38-31. This seems, right, Hickey, first team in the 20s, maybe 24, probably a lock to win the game tonight. I don't think we're getting more than 24 points aside in this game.
I said 20-17 is a score, so I'm going to think first one to break the two in the scoreboard is going to win here.
Okay.
Defensive struggle.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a lot of run game. When the running backs get going, there's going to be a lot of long drives. And then can one team hit on a big pass play? And maybe it's the Christian Watson show once again. Mike Vrabel says the biggest key in a short week is having the right mentality.
Part of the message is just, you know, today is a Wednesday and a Thursday. Like, that's what it is. And we have to tell ourselves that. We have to tell our bodies that. We have to tell our minds that. But we also have to try to, you know, do the best that we can to win the mental performance and the physical recovery battle here the next couple days. Everybody deals with it.
So, Hickey, we all know that all these teams, they hate the players playing on a short week. When we talk about mentality, even though Tennessee is the better team, does this better suit Green Bay, in your opinion? Because when you get into mentality, I don't know if there's going to be a laser-sharp focus from the Tennessee Titans, because they know they're going to win this division. I know mathematically, right, the Colts will have a chance, but you already beat them twice. And no one expects the Colts to go on this big hot run, probably other than you. So with that being said, short week, Packers are more desperate. Doesn't mean they're a lock to win the game. I think this will be a close game that Green Bay's just going to find a way to pull it out. But I think there's going to be a greater level of desperation from Green Bay in a short week. And if you do strike early and that level of desperation is shown in the first quarter, we talk about the chase to 24 points. You know, maybe it is a touchdown right out of the gate for Green Bay, a stop, and then you get a field goal or a touchdown and you're up 10 or 14 points.
The thing I'll give Tennessee credit, though, is just like, I mean, all season, like, you're right, the division's over. So they really, in theory, no motivation to win or try hard, if you will. But I go back to even a few weeks ago when they played the Chiefs on Sunday night. They had Malik Willis starting the game.
Yeah.
So like, you could easily mail it in, hey, we're playing one of the best teams in the NFL on the road with a backup quarterback. Like, hey, we don't
game
have a
shot. Game.
And they dominated that, or they had control of the game, we'll say, for most of it. And like I said, then they lose at the end, but took the Chiefs overtime. So I think they'll still be locked in. Right, they're not the most desperate team. The Packers are for sure, but I still think they'll be locked in.
Vrabel's a top five coach.
Oh,
I feel like we say this every day, but he's a heck of a coach. And you look around with that, like, that roster's good, but it shouldn't be the production that they've gotten out of it out of the last 3-4 years, especially with no quarterback. And I know Ryan, when I say no quarterback, people are going to go, oh, well, Ryan Tannehill's not horrible. Yeah, sure, he's not horrible. But does anyone ever say that Ryan Tannehill's the guy? Absolutely not.
And even last year, you lose one of the best overall players in the NFL for
October
Derrick Henry
31st.
For half the year, yeah. And you still get the number one overall seed. It's, again, it doesn't matter who's injured, who the quarterback is, they still win games.
Yeah, he's a heck of a coach. I wonder if he ever takes another job. Like, if he goes, okay,
so.
I did my work, I built
Hope
things
so.
Up in Tennessee. I'll go replace Bill Belichick when he retires. That'd be great. Come on home, Mike. Come back to Foxborough.
Maybe go to L.A. Maybe tired of a little chilly winters there in Nashville. Go to L.A.
I don't know.
Enjoy a little sun there, Mike. He doesn't seem like the L.A. guy, but
nah,
go to L.A.
Vrabel needs to be in a tough kind of area. That's what Mike Vrabel seems. This guy's crazy. Said he would cut off his Johnson to go win a Super Bowl.
How about Detroit? go from one crazy man to another.
Nah, no.
But the crazy man in Tennessee at least can coach.
You don't go to that organization. Talking about the Lions?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Come on. I think let's start making the push here in the Zach Gelb show. Mike Vrabel to the Lions.
No. No.
I'll make the push.
No. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals play on Monday Night Football. Kyler Murray discusses the extent of his hamstring injury. We'll see if he plays this week.
Tweeted the week before, played through it, but once it kind of happened the next week, I kind of knew probably best for me to let it rest. And once it happens, it's unfortunate, but like I said, happens, part of the game. We all go through it. Never want it to be yourself, but try to get back as quick as possible.
Kyler Murray on if he can put a percentage on his health.
I feel good. I don't know percentage or anything like that, but definitely, I feel a lot better.
Now, I would lean towards he's playing, Ryan, I would guess. And that's why I'm going to stay away from these games when I do my picks tomorrow. But don't you have the feeling that San Francisco is just due to just absolutely roll and destroy and just dominate the Arizona Cardinals? Like, that's what this feels like heading into Monday Night Football.
Or do you stay with the hot hand, Colt McCoy? What do you go, 2-1 last year, right? In three games Kyler missed. Now he's 1-0 this year. He's 3-1. Is this Taylor Heineke South?
No.
Taylor Heineke West?
No. Stop. You just paid Kyler Murray. A lot of money.
Well, they traded a lot for Carson Wentz. Two third-round picks.
Yeah.
Sure, $230 million, two third-round picks.
A little bit different. Just a tad. A smudge. Derek Carr is relieved that Josh McDaniels isn't getting fired this season. Let's hear Derek Carr lie.
Just being here, for 9 years and everything that we've all seen and been through and some tragedies and all the stuff, right? I'm so happy to hear that, Mr. Davis feels that way. I'm so happy that, he loves Josh, he loves Dave, he believes him. And it kind of just gave us a breath, let's just get better. Let's work on being a better football team. Let's go try and win all these games. Let's go try and do all that, of course, but let's just be a better football team. And it kind of just let us know that the process, trust that process. Well, there is a process, and we do have time, during the season right now that we know, who our leader is, and we know that we're rolling. And that gives us confidence as a football team. So it absolutely, when he came out and did that, thank goodness, that kind of thing.
Hickey, he was crying last week. Now he's saying, thank God the coach that's 2-7 is sticking around. He just doesn't come off as believable. I think this is the best way to say it, because I got on Carr a little bit earlier in the week. I think his intentions are good, but doesn't do a good job at selling what he's trying to say.
I guess what's confusing, it almost made it seem like the sense of urgency is gone.
He's saying, thank God I don't have to answer all these questions about my coach, because the owner came out, whether you believe it or not, he said that he's not going anywhere.
He's not
going
to get fired, so now it's we don't have to worry about winning every game? It sounds like you already wrote off the season.
Yeah, well, 2-7.
I would agree, but you never hear players say, the season's over, and
it's over
before Thanksgiving.
2-7. Davante Adams described why he is happy that Josh McDaniels is getting time to turn things around.
I've always had, I don't know if the feeling is the right word, but at least hoping that that'd be the case and that they, be patient with the whole process. I mean, you look at the history of this place. I mean, I don't think a playoff game has been won in over 20 years here. And, there's no magic coach that's going to come in and change that. And I think that Josh is doing a great job, and he does deserve that in my mind. I think that, we can all be better in certain instances, but some of the greatest coaches that this league has seen has had some tough times, and I'm sure they didn't all come out the blocks sprinting, like Usain Bolt, starting a career off or starting with a new organization. So I think it's a good move by him doing that. It's good for Josh, good for the rest of the guys too.
I guess he hasn't lost the locker room, is what you could say. Now, how much you believe of that, that's another thing. But it's not about having a great year this year, because that's clearly not the case. It's about not falling flat on your face. If they would have regressed this year, but you saw signs, okay, there'd be a thought that Josh McDaniels could be great. But the fact that they have gone from 10-7 to 2-7, that's a big, not just a big step. That is multiple steps in the wrong direction. And next year, you got to get back to the playoffs, because if you don't get to the playoffs, then next year, then that's going to be a coach that took over a playoff team that then set the franchise back two seasons in a row. It's not a high bar, but they're falling really low underneath the bar right now.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.